This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the lovely Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
And we are right at the beginning of December, which is otherwise known as Hell Month for moms.
It's like hazing time. You get dropped into the thick of it this time of the year. It's just crazy.
The happiest month of the year. No, it is. It is the happiest month of the year, especially if you have a lot of boundaries in place, which we're discussing today.
Yes, today's episode is brought to you by
the letter B. B is for boundaries.
And our guest happens to be.
Yes, she also starts with a B. It is Bethany Brown Silva, and she's an on-air parenting, entertainment, and lifestyle expert and the host of The Breakdown with Bethany, the podcast and web show on mom.com. She is the former editor of parenting.com and frequently writes about the latest and greatest gear for parents and kids, as well as health, women's lifestyle, pop culture, home, and food topics. Her work has also appeared in People, Real Simple, Shape, and Parents, and she's the author of the book, Like a Mother, Banish Guilt, Blaze Your Trail, and Break the Rules to Create a Life You Love. And she is the mom to two boys, Elias 11 and Jake 8. And we hope you enjoy our interview with Bethany. You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. That's Bree's intro music right there. Bree, you need to give us the intro music. Do it again.
Ba, 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 ba.
That's so it. If you're ever a guest on the No Guilt Mom Podcast, you will always hear the Bree transition music. But we have a guest. Bethany, welcome to the podcast.
Oh my gosh, I love hanging with you guys. Thank you so much.
We first got to hang with you at our Mom Ignited Summit, and you were one of the favorites there. Gave such great and reasonable advice to moms. And I'm excited to dig into all the self-care stuff, because self-care is something that gets such a complicated rap on social media about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. So how have you seen moms be critical of themselves, Bethany?
Well, I think we're all super hard on ourselves, especially when it comes to parenting, or maybe we're not at that pre-baby weight, like physically, like how we're looking, how we're feeling. It's garbage. Like it's, I don't know really where it comes from, like outside influences, internal influences, maybe someone in your family, but it is so not what we need to be focusing on for ourselves, for our kids, for anybody. So I'm especially hard on myself when it comes to my career. You know, I feel like I'm always way behind where I should be. And now I'm working on for the new year to really start to manage that a little bit.
I have that way behind kind of, I guess, mindset, you would call it. I have that too. This thing that you're looking at everybody else out there and you're thinking, oh my gosh, they have it so together and I'm not doing like A, B, and C. And then you just like pile on the shoulds on yourself. Do you get that?
I get that a ton. I get that a ton. And then I go into a little bit of the woo-woo stuff, which I don't know if you guys are into. Like,
oh, tell me the woo-woo stuff.
It's the universe's timing. It's not my timing. It's happening. It's just not happening right now. Like all of that. So I'm like very big into like my Instagram. I don't know. I fed it. I liked one post. Now the algorithm just feeds me all of this manifestation. The universe has got your back stuff. And I'm like, I just eat it up. I eat it up.
Isn't it crazy? It's like, that's how it goes. I'm sorry. Somewhat related. Bree's going to go a little bit off on a little bit of fork of a left here. But just last week, I had that, or 2 weeks ago. I don't know. One of the Instagram followers, and Joanne knows that I love to follow animals. I like dogs. I like cats. That's what I try to do with my social media. But Hammy and Olivia, shout out to Hammy and Olivia. Poor little Olivia, the corgi, passed away unexpectedly.
Oh.
And they've had a really hard time with the passing, right? And there's been a lot of posts about it. And I remember looking at my husband being like, I feel like there's something going on with the universe. He's like, why? I'm like, because Olivia passed away. It's all over my feed. And then another friend of mine, their dog unexpectedly passed away and it's all over the feed. And then now another friend, I had four people that had their animal pass away and their feeds pop up on my Instagram. And it's funny, Bethany, because you're like, is it the universe or is it the algorithm?
It is totally the algorithm. That is the algorithm for sure.
So like on top of all the holiday stress of Thanksgiving, I was terrified my dog was about to die.
Oh my goodness.
But it's interesting because social media really has a part to play in how moms are critical of themselves. Because Bethany, like you said, you liked one post and then you got fed all of this stuff. So if you like one of those posts about these perfect family pictures, guess what you're going to see all the time?
I have to constantly remind myself that a lot of these perfect, beautifully curated homes, this is their job. This is what they get paid to do, to have this
right?
Home. This is not my job. So my home will never look like that.
And like throw that in with the whole, like you were talking about, I might not be at pre-baby weight. You look at celebrities or people on Instagram and you're like, God, how did they get themselves put back together? They have time. They have a chef. They have a nanny. They have all of these resources.
Yeah, or Photoshop.
It is that person's job to do X, Y, Z. So yeah, giving ourselves that grace.
It is really interesting though, like what we're exposed to and what we can manifest into the universe, because I kind of am like iffy with woo, but also it gives you something to believe in rather than being so hard on yourself. Because if there's some other factors in play that you have no control over, that's something that you can let go, especially in terms of anxiety and stuff like that. How does that anxiety play in with you, Bethany?
I can get really wrapped up in my anxiety. I think a lot of mothers, I actually for a really long time, I don't know if you call it like dealt with or suffered from those, what is it called? Like that, I might say the word wrong, but like that catastrophic thinking, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. I'm an expert.
Yeah. Like something really irrationally bad was going to happen to my children or me or something. But really in the context of motherhood, of being a mom, like I wasn't going to be there for them or they weren't going to be there for me. And then I don't know how comfortable I am talking about this, but I think it's worth saying. I went on Lexapro like for a little while. I don't know. I'm just like putting it out there because
join the club, girl. We're with you. We're with you on that.
And it wasn't for depression. It was mostly for this anxiety and this catastrophic thinking. So and a part of what I do as a parenting writer and an editor and on my own podcast is I really work hard to destigmatize these sorts of things for mothers. So it's important for me to be honest about where I was at with my mental health for so long. So I was taking that medicine for anxiety and it helped. Now I'm sort of like the kids are older. I'm able to kind of manage my own in certain ways. And I know when I'm feeling off and things like that. But I think when you're really in the thick of it with young kids and if you're dealing with other things, and then I think a lot of it is like the outside influences, but know that there might be a solution for you. Maybe it wasn't something that you had traditionally thought of.
Yeah, no, mental health is a huge thing. And I don't feel like enough people talk about the medication. Like, you hear the natural stuff on Instagram, and you're like, I did all this without taking medication. And it's just so important to realize that meds are a tool. They are a tool in the toolbox. There is no shame associated with it. There is nothing. I mean, Glennon Doyle, for instance, I always remember this.
I know. Yeah. Do it. Say it.
Her song. Yeah. Yes. It's like, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. For he gave me Lexapro.
I mean, how many times have I sung that to myself? So yes. Yeah, I know exactly what you're going to say.
Glennon, if you're listening, we need you to come join us. Come join us.
But I love that. I love it. It was so destigmatizing. And then other celebrities and stuff, when they come on and say those things, and gosh, I'm totally blanking on her name, but she was on The Good Place.
Kristen Bell? No.
I'm going to look it up. Her name is Jameela Jamil.
Oh, yes, I know her.
Yeah.
She's very outspoken about like body positivity and stuff like that. Yeah.
I see her posts and it brings me such joy. And it was her seeing her admitting that she is taking anxiety meds that actually got me to start taking anxiety meds, because she mentioned something when she was on Jennifer Hudson's show and she like tripped over a couch and she just handled it so perfectly that it was due to her anxiety medication. And so when you see people in a public sphere saying, hey, this is the stuff that I struggle with, and here is like what I'm doing about it, it is so refreshing, because it just helps. But Jameela is really great on that. So we're going to get into now what we can actually do to take care of ourselves now that we know that this is an issue for so many women. And we're going to go into the steps that you recommend right after this break.
Hey, all, it is Joanne
and Brie here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Okay, Bethany. So we know that so many women are self-critical of themselves. So if you're listening right now and you're like, yes, yes, and yes, you are in the absolute right place, because there is a way that moms can start prioritizing self-care beyond the typical manis and petties. So what is one of the first things you recommend for self-care?
Boundaries. And
I love boundaries.
It's such a like overplayed word. People are saying it all the time. And I really recommend mothers to set boundaries with their own children. Now, that might seem really scary, But I want to reassure you that setting boundaries with your children on your time and your space does not mean setting boundaries on your love. there's no limit on the love that you're going to give them, but there might have to be a limit on the time that you give them during certain periods of the day, certain peaks in your career or anything like that. So I'm really, I know when boundaries are being crossed. I'm an only child. I need space. I need silence. And as any mother knows, that it could get really heavy sensory overload very quickly when you're raising young kids.
You don't want to be touched anymore right. In one day.
No, I don't want to. And I don't want to hear them.
I don't want to hear them. They need to go in a room.
Yeah. So, and I know that. I really know that about myself. So for me, I need that time. I need the time to just sit in peace and quiet, to be uninterrupted. I work from home. And I think that a lot of these kind of boundaries are blurred, right? Like now that a lot of us are working from home, we had a pivot during the pandemic and where I sit in my bedroom and work, but this is also my office. So just because I'm home and you're here doesn't mean that you can come in. The endless interruptions during work as a writer is really, really horrible. It's horrible. And it was driving me so insane. So now I put a sign on the door or talk to them really just about having respect for like my time, like as I'm working. And they get, the cool thing is what I am able to do. So I'm able to show them, okay, you gave me this hour. Here's the article that I wrote, or here's like the segment that I put together that's going to be on television. So in a way it helps them understand like tangibly, like when they give me this space, here's the product, here's the outcome of that. I'm not just trying to get away from you. I love you. Both of my kids, they're 8 and 11, slept in my bed last night with me. So it's not about boundaries. No, like you can be all over me. I love you. Like that's it. We're very close. Like, as you know, but when I'm working and I know this about myself, I need that space and time.
There is so much in there to dig into, though. I see, Bree, you want to say something.
I was just going to say, I say this a lot. It's such a gift to your kids because you're teaching them that completely giving yourself up to somebody else is not the way to communicate love. Nor is, I mean, I'm going to say it's not the only way, but it's definitely not a healthy way. It's teaching them that you can be your own person. You can do things that give you that space and that make you happy instead of them coming with. Can you notice that perhaps Brie had this ideology when she was little? I always blame it on watching too many 80s romantic comedies,
which are problematic all in themselves now, if you look back at some of those romantic comedies.
Growing up thinking like love means that I sacrifice everything for everybody else. That's what that means. No, it doesn't. And then you're miserable. And then it starts that spiral. I'm doing something wrong because I'm miserable. No.
Well, another thing that really like starts that thinking process that you're doing something wrong is that kids will have some pushback when you start setting boundaries. And that pushback is a really hard and emotional thing to deal with. And it brings up all of that guilt in you. So one of my big boundaries, like I need my sleep. I need sleep. If it is past 10 p.m., do not come in my room asking me to do something for you. That's not going to happen. And my son, he's 10 and he still has a bedtime, which is like 9:30. So 9:30, he's in bed. Cool. My daughter's almost 15. She doesn't have a bedtime anymore. There's no giving teenagers bedtimes. And I tell you, the other night she went to go see the new Hunger Games prequel movie with some friends. And she came back at 11:30. My husband went to pick her up. I'm there sleeping. There is a sleep mask on my face. And all of a sudden I am woken up because she has my hand. And she's like, Mama, Mama, let me like tell you everything about the movie right now at 11:30 at night. And she's being so sweet about it. And what I found is she's been sick over the weekend, so she has bloody noses. And my husband said that she was anxious about her bloody nose and needed that. But that's what she did. She was like, Mama, I love you. Oh, and I'm worried about this. So we had a discussion the next day. And I'm like, if you see me asleep, like you cannot wake me up. And what I found from her is that she thought I easily fell back asleep after being woken up. So she was totally okay with it.
My kids have that thought process too. I don't know where it came from that, I can just come in and wake you up whenever. Like, no.
That was an easy one.
At night.
That was an easy one with her. But a harder one was like when I set a boundary, like I was working. And she basically accused me of ignoring her for my phone.
My 8-year-old does that all the time. I'm always on my phone. I'm always this. And I am a little bit too much. And you know what it is? You try to explain to them, this is important to me. This is for work. But it's hard for them to grasp that they're not everything to you at every moment, right? And maybe they are, but it's sort of like those, like the glass balls, the plastic balls, like which ones can drop in a certain moment. And if your kids aren't like in dire need, but this is like something that fills your cup, then I say go for it. And the guilt, I'm a big proponent, and like I'm not a psychologist, but I push through guilt a lot because it doesn't serve me. And my father taught me that. I'm an only child. I have a lot of guilt, like how I was with my parents. This is like a completely, this emotion does not serve anybody. So anytime I'm feeling it, I don't sit with it. I just push through it. So I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but I push through it and I feel better.
No, I actually love that because a lot of the reading I've done recently about guilt is that you cannot make guilt go away. You have to learn ways to tolerate it until it passes. And I think what you do right there is you push through it and eventually it passes for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's good.
I think a great thing you said there too was this emotion is not serving me. That's a big piece that a lot of us have to be able to move on with. If you, again, like Joanne and I have talked about how we both have anxiety, like right now, is this situation serving me or not? And if you can get to the point where you can move forward through it, that is awesome. But that one question right there is a game changer.
It's good to know that. And it's good to know also when you set boundaries, you do have people who push against them and resist them. And that's the hard thing about setting boundaries. It's not just the initial, I need this time. It's the, what do you do when somebody else doesn't respect that time? So what do you say for that, Bethany? What do you do when someone else does not respect your boundaries? And we're going to get your answer right after this break.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
So we talked how important it is to set boundaries as a term of self-care. So what do you do, Bethany, when somebody pushes against your boundaries?
So if I could quote or reference another woman, Erica Day, who is incredible. And I actually interviewed her for my book, and she is sort of a boundary expert, like really fantastic woman. And I asked her that question. I said, what do you do when the boundary's broken, when it's not respected? She goes, set it again. You just have to keep setting those boundaries. It's like when you're trying to teach your kid anything, it's never just a one and done thing, right? You don't potty train in one time and then expect your kid to have learned it. So you just have to, don't be afraid to set the boundary, and then don't be afraid to reset it. And if you have to tweak here and there, because you see, maybe your child really is struggling during that time from not being away from you, to be able to be adaptable, right? In the moment, right? So, and that's sort of if people ever ask me like what my parenting style is, I say that too. I'm just very adaptable to the moment, but keeping those boundaries in place when they really are serving everybody. If they have to serve the person who they are, you know, the boundary person, right? Who it's protecting. But, you know, when you're dealing with kids, it has to also serve them in a way. And if it's not, then reset it, reevaluate, and do all of that. But that was really something that I think about a lot too, because my kids still feel little to me. And when they're feeling neglected or not listened to, that's hurtful to me. I feel bad. I feel it's not a great place to be as a mom. But then we just reevaluate. Let's figure this out. Okay, maybe this isn't the best time for me to be away from you so I can work. I can figure out another time.
Yeah. With kids in particular, like, it's a really hard thing to set those boundaries with little ones. As they get to teenagers, you can use those more adult tactics of setting boundaries because they need that. They need to know that. Something that I found that's really helpful for boundaries is like defining them in three types. So you have your rigid boundaries, and those are the boundaries that you don't move for anything, which really aren't great for parenting. You have your porous boundaries, which is basically like when you set the boundary and then you're like, oh, this happened. Oh, I'm just going to let it slide right through. Oh, this happened. I'll change everything I do for that. So that doesn't work either. But you're talking about healthy boundaries, which is setting them and evaluating the situation in terms of your goals and your values in particular for your kids and reevaluating them and then resetting them.
Yeah, I live by that.
It's a hard thing. Boundaries are a hard thing. And it's self-care in particular in dealing with boundaries. What's an instance, Bethany, that you have really had to set a boundary in outside of work, something that replenishes you outside of work that may have been just for yourself, not serving your kids, but that you had to do a boundary for?
Yeah, I think I mentioned a little bit before. It's really just like having that alone time. My husband came from a really loud family, lots of people always in and out, and having my boys. And it's just for some reason, an hour before bedtime is the time that everyone decides they want to start wrestling. And it's crazy. So I'm very sensitive to that kind of sensory overload. I don't, you know, my kids could have the TV on and music and be screaming and everyone's cool. So me, I'm not cool with that. And so what really helps to serve me is really just removing myself. So if I can't set the boundary in the home where you know, and more often than not, when I'm not working, like, and I feel like I need to leave, I'll just have to leave. I'll have to remove myself in some kind of way. And sometimes I'll just go in the car. Sometimes it's a drive. Sometimes it's, I don't know, just getting out, removing myself, because it's not fair to ask them, right? Like, turn this stuff down. Like, you're being so loud, right? Like, they're having a great time with their dad. Have at it. Like, and I'll go. So for me, that mental health aspect of just having time to decompress in silence is really important. And I didn't realize how important it was until I was burnt out, realizing like, why do I feel so bad when, you know, work is okay and my relationships are okay, but something's off, like something's just not sitting well in my home with my family. And I realized it was just like the constant noise, the just like everything, the visual, the auditory, the touching, like everything. And so for me, it's just, instead of asking them to not do that, I'll go ahead and remove myself. And if I can't go outside, then I go up into the bedroom and until they find me.
Yeah.
Quietly remove
closing
myself.
Yourself off, closing the door.
But I like the fact that you found a solution that also gave you, because having the solution was like, okay, everybody be quiet, everybody calm, everybody like bring down. You still have the fact that they're all right there and the touching possibly, especially if you're like over sensory there. I like that your solution is able to give you a break. Your kids are with their dad. Dad is chill. Awesome. Let's do this. And you get to just extract the mental load. Because there's also the factor too, anybody else here that's, oh my God, they're wrestling. Oh my God, so-and-so's going to get hurt. They're going to break that vase. They're going to like mess up that couch. They're going to knock over the juice. Like it's like all the
they're
things.
They're going to go too far and make their brother cry. And then I'll have to deal with all those emotions. And then I'm like.
Which I have been there. I've been there. And it's, and I actually like, yeah. And that really is the only way. Not only can I like help serve like all the sensory stuff, but yeah, all that anxiety around like breaking the house, breaking somebody's face, breaking like spilling stains. And I'm just like, you know what? Yeah. Like he's got this. Dad's got this. I'm going to go. And whatever happens, we'll deal with it later.
Well, we know a big part of mental health is to always have something to look forward to. So what are you looking forward to right now, Bethany, that's exciting you?
Yeah, I've had a lot of good momentum. I know I was saying like, oh, sometimes I get down on myself for my career but I also think about how far I've come. And this 2023 brought me like a lot of really good, planted a lot of seeds. And I'm really excited to see them blossom in 2024 and beyond. And maybe it's, you know, with expanding the podcast, writing more, working on a second book. But for me, I do feel like in many ways I've hit the sweet spot. Like in my life, I'm approaching 40. The kids are really, they're older. They are more self-sufficient. Things seem good. And it was not without tons of work leading up to this part, this time. So I, in many ways, I'm able to really turn inwards, put that attention and that self-care, like back into myself, my career, the things that really make me happy. So I'm excited to see where that goes. And I haven't felt this hopeful and like really having such a positive outlook in a long time. Because when you're really in the thick of parenting, sometimes you're kind of just like heads down, grinding, just getting through day by day in survival mode. And I just feel like I'm on the other side of that now. And it feels really good.
That's a huge, huge celebration to have. Well, it has been amazing talking to you, Bethany. We have learned so much about boundaries and how you set them in your own life and how it looks like setting them working from home with kids. And we just love you. And thank you so much for being here.
I love you guys. Thank you so much.
And I just want to sing, B is for boundaries. That's good enough for me. B is for boundaries. That's good enough for me.
I don't know that. What is that from?
I think it's a Sesame Street song, but I just made it B is for boundaries. Oh, C is for cookie. That's what I'm doing.
Oh!
I was like, where did I get that tune?
I was impressed. Yeah. I'm sitting here going, wow, Joanne's just like Weird Al Yankovic in this, just like creating it on the fly. And here we go. I cannot do that.
That's what we do in my house. We make songs about things that I'll sing randomly and then we'll make funny lyrics to it. My kids are both pretty quick, like with they'll do the insults or they'll do the quick comebacks, especially my daughter. So,
oh yeah.
I have to keep up my game.
I'm trying to think, the quickness in our house is how fast can Miguel or I quote an 80s song or 80s movie? That's the quickest comebacks we have. There's nothing original. It's just, did you say something that gets one of us to go say something? And I'm like, now all I can think of is that's what she said, but that's not our normal one.
I got in so much trouble with my daughter for saying that. There was some line and I was like, I said under my breath, that's what she said. And she's like, Mom, did you just say that's what she said? And I'm like, yes. She's like, people don't say that anymore, Mom.
Old people do. And we're old people. My big favorite one is like, where's my $2? And only some people will get that reference.
I don't get that one.
It's okay for our age group, for yours and mine, Joanne. Like, it's a movie that is not everybody has seen. It's called Better Off Dead with John Cusack. Yeah. And there's this scene where like throughout the entire movie, the paper boy is trying to get his money and he's like stalking the main teen character. It's not even his house. It's his parents, but he's stalking him and he's like, I want my $2. Whenever anybody asks for anything in this house, Miguel and I will be anywhere. And all of a sudden you hear somebody run downstairs. Where's my $2? And my kids are just like, you guys are idiots. You're idiots. No.
We do that with Dora. I'm a fire chicken. Bawk, bawk. It's from a Dora episode.
I thought I knew Dora pretty well, but I do not know the fire chicken one.
It's a chicken dressed up as a firefighter. That's all you need to know.
Well, that sounds... very, I need to see that now. Now I'm going to have to look that up. I'm a fire chicken.
Bawk, bawk. That's what we do all the time. And then there's this other Dora episode. It's actually not a Dora episode. It's a YouTube video of a parody of a Dora episode. And it's talking about burying dead bodies.
I was going to say, this is going to take a dark turn, I can tell.
Where's my shovel? Shovel!
I have never seen a non-dark spoof of Dora. They're always very interesting, but yes.
Just the dark humor combined with children's things. It's funny.
Yes.
I don't know. There's this one Family Guy episode I think about all the time, especially when my kids are whining about something or saying like, oh, huh? I can't believe this is happening. It was just one of those little inserts in Family Guy where Peter Griffin was watching TV and it was fast animals, small children. And the boy was like, oh no, I spilled honey on myself. And then it cut to the tiger with music. Oh, what am I going to do with this honey? Like, that's what I think about each time. Like, my kids are like, oh, I can't believe we're having pizza for dinner. The tiger's running. You got to get through it somehow, right?
Oh, my good Lord. There's the glimpse into the minds of no guilt mom of the two of us.
It's how we keep sane.
It is how
we get through the day-to-day.
Because this is a rough time of the year, and that is why, I'm going to tie this back in, that is why you need healthy boundaries, and you need to excuse yourself so you can giggle in silence in your room
or wherever.
Yeah.
About whatever it is that brings you that happiness.
Yeah.
Because you need it.
And if your kids are whining about something that they don't have for Christmas, just think fast animals, slow children.
There you go. That is our holiday season gift to you.
So remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.